Who's on mute?
I'm here. I don't know what's wrong with my computer.
Okay, so you did start the recording. So it's
yes, I just started
it. Okay, perfect. I'll go ahead and start the meeting then. Thank you. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, everyone. This is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission meeting of Wednesday, September 17th, 2025. Call to order at 12:04 p.m. Could we have roll call, please?
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Alice and Doggy?
Here.
Andrew Christopher?
Here.
Blake Houghton?
Here.
Carlos Zuzano?
Here.
Courtney Marks?
Here.
Gary Miner?
Here.
Helen Erickson? J.J. Lamb?
Here.
Joel Ireland?
Here.
Julie Rigoli?
Present.
Kathy Kubish?
Kathy, are you on mute?
She is.
Not anymore. Here.
Okay. Thank you. Cam Scoville? Mario Trejo?
Present.
Savannah McDonald?
Here.
Stephen Grady?
Here.
Terry Majewski?
Here.
Tim Haggard?
Here.
I have 15.
Perfect. And I didn't hear from Ken that he would not be joining, so let's watch for him to join. But I know Helen will not be on.
Thank you.
Okay, great. Thank you. Item two is land acknowledgement. Could we have that, please, Commissioner Lozano?
Yeah, thanks. On behalf of the residents of the city of Tucson, the city of South Tucson, and Pima County, we honor the tribal nations who have served as caretakers of this land from time immemorial and respectfully acknowledge the ancestral homelands the Tohono O'odham Nation and the multi-millennial presence of the Pascua-Yaqui tribe within Pima County. Consistent with the TPCHC's commitment to diversity and inclusion, we strive toward building equal partner relationships with Arizona's tribal nations.
Thank you. Item three is approval of the TPCHC minutes from the meeting of 8/13/25. Could I have a motion to approve as submitted, please? Someone?
This is Andrew.
I'll move to approve.
Okay,
I'll second this, Joel.
Okay, so we have Andrew and Joel. Okay, is there any discussion? If not, could you call roll, please?
Can you guys hear me now?
Yes.
Okay, perfect. Okay, Alice and Doggy?
Aye.
Andrew Christopher?
Aye.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julie Rigoli?
Aye.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mario Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Motion passes 15-0.
Thank you. Item four is chairperson's summary of current events. I just had one thing I wanted to mention is that Carla is no longer going to be our staff person from the city clerk's office for the commission, but and she is training up two new folks, Jessica Figueroa and Tracy McAfee, but Carla will still be the supervisor. And Anna Juarez will also stay on as a backup. Is that correct, Carla?
Yes, that's correct. I'll still kind of be overseeing with any questions that Jessica and Tracy may have. I'll still be here. I won't technically be gone. But, yeah, I it was really great working with all of you guys. I admire all what you guys do, and I see the passion and commitment that you guys really have, and really appreciate it.
You have been tremendous, and there's still a few things I'm going to copy you on because we're about ready to do some budget stuff just so that you can help Jessica and Tracy through that process.
Yes.
Because we finally got it figured out for, you know, the last fiscal year. So we want to continue on that good track and not have them quit immediately once they have to deal with it.
Right.
So Jessica, do you want to introduce yourself to us so we can see you? If you have a camera that you can turn on. Maybe, oh, there she is.
Hello, I'm Jessica Figueroa, and I'll be support staff from now on for the Pima County Commissions. I look forward to working with you all.
Well, thank you so much, and same here. And is Tracy on as well today or no? If not,
yes, she's here.
Oh, hi, Tracy. Let us
Hi,
see you.
My name is Tracy. I'm with the city clerk's office as well, and I will be assisting with Jessica and getting guidance from Carla. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to either one of us. I look forward to working with you all.
Great. Thank you so much, Tracy, and welcome to both you and Jessica. And I'm sure we'll still be hearing a little bit from you, Carla, from time to time. So that's great. Okay, so item 5 is recently posted LAR's minutes, just to remind you that meetings get held and LARs get posted, then you can always check this link and look under the subcommittee and find out what you'd like to see. All right. Item 6 is removal appointments to commission subcommittees, working groups, and so on. I do have one addition. I would welcome a motion to add Gary Miner to the Preservation Awards Subcommittee. Anyone?
I'll move that motion.
Okay, that's Andrew.
Second, Joel.
Okay, thank you. Any discussion? Okay, so I'm sorry, we'll have to have another roll call vote on this as well.
Terry, okay. I just joined.
Oh, hi. So Ken joined at 12:12.
Okay.
Thank you.
You care, have you registered? The link wouldn't work. I've been trying to use the link for almost 15 minutes. And I finally went to 2 months earlier, and that link worked. But the links that I had didn't work. I don't know.
Yeah, I had trouble getting on, too. I think it's the version that the city clerk's office has of Teams. So when I hit on the reminder email that Carla sent, you could just click on that link instead of, it's confusing. So anyway, go ahead with the roll call for this motion, please.
Okay. Allison Doggy.
Aye.
Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Blake Houghton.
Aye.
Carlos Lozano.
Aye.
Courtney Marks.
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
J.J. Lamb?
Aye.
J.J.? Thank you.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julie Rigoli?
Julie?
I'll call it right now. Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard? And then Julie Rigoli?
Aye. Yes.
Julie, can you hear us?
So I would 15-1 with technical difficulties.
Okay.
She logged out.
Yeah, maybe she'll be back on. I think she maybe lost the connection. Okay, let's begin with item 7 then, reports from City of Tucson, Pima County, and City of South Tucson staff. 7A is City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. Desiree?
Yes, hello, commissioners. It's great to see you all. Some exciting news from the City of Tucson Historic Preservation Office. We are welcoming a new staff member, Jonathan Knighton-Weiser. He goes by Johnny. He's our new cultural resources manager and is an archaeologist who brings a great deal of experience to the city. I'll let him introduce himself, but I just want to say that I'm very excited to have him. We're already noticing, you know, tremendous transformation in our operations here. So let me hand it over to Johnny to introduce himself.
Great. Thank you. Jonathan, let's see you. Are you there?
I'm here. Can you see me?
Oh, hi. Yes.
Yeah. My name is Johnny, and I've been in Tucson since around 2014, so still learning about this place, and I have a lot of experience with the private world in, like, archaeology contracting firms, and also a little bit at the State Museum. And then with the Forest Service at Coronado National Forest. So I have a little bit of experience with everything. I like tin cans. I like old glass bottles. And I like telling stories. And so I'm excited to learn. And I'm also excited to just, like, add to Desiree's team.
Great. Well, welcome. And we hope to see a lot more of you. Go ahead.
Yeah, thank you, Johnny. So now our Historic Preservation Office is fully staffed, at least for the positions we have budgeted. I will definitely have aspirations to grow the team in the future, but we now have 4 members. So Johnny joined us about a month ago, and then Jason Lilienthal y Trujillo joined us about 2 months ago. So it just keeps getting better. Our cultural compliance Section 106 work, a few notable consultations I'll mention. The city is currently completing our Section 106 review for the South 10th Affordable Housing Project. And as the lead agency, we received concurrence from both the State Historic Preservation Office and Tribal Nations with a finding of no adverse effects. So that project will be moving forward. And our housing department, which is leading up the work, they will be working with our tribal partners to look at, you know, ways to incorporate stories and history into future public art as part of the project. So that's still, you know, several years down the road, most likely, but wanted to give you an update on that. The city is also working with Pima County, our Department of Transportation and Mobility, and Desert Archaeology to transfer cultural resource compliance management for DTM's Silver Belt road work from Pima County to the city. So Pima County had been overseeing that while we were getting staffed up, but now that the city is staffed and has qualified archaeologists and staff here, we will be taking over that work. A couple high-profile cases that went to PRS that I want to report back on, the Fox Theater expansion, related demolition went to Plans Review Subcommittee on June 26th and then August 14th. Following multiple presentations and deliberations, PRS moved to recommend approval of the expansion and related demolition. So that will be going to Mayor and Council on October 21st. On October 9th, of this year, Christina Swallow, our assistant city manager, will be providing a presentation on the city's administrative directive for the protection of archaeological and historic resources, and we'll be recapping kind of the timeline and background on the Santa Rita Park pool and bathhouse demolition as part of a park improvement project. Some recent or some upcoming policy related items. We are working with the Commission's Policies and Procedures Working Group on a number of process and policy improvements, one of which includes improvements to our administrative directive. So that's something that we will be working on, and we'll report back to the Commission as we have items to present. We will also be working with the Historic Landscape Subcommittee on their recent research and inventory of parks, city parks pertaining to listed and identified potentially eligible historic sites and properties, and working with our Parks Department to hopefully identify these sites and properties early on in the process, before, you know, planning gets significantly underway. And then lastly, I wanted to mention a community update. Anita Street Market in Barrio Anita received a $50,000 grant from, I think it was American Express, the National Trust for Historic Preservation, on some facade improvements. And they were also identified as one of the Latinos and Heritage Conservation's endangered Latino landmarks. That concludes my report.
Great. Thank you very much, Desiree. Does anyone have Carlos, go ahead.
Yeah, Desiree, I don't know if you know anything about this, but seems like the City of Tucson online historic preservation map lost some of its functionality. It doesn't show historic districts and things like that. You know anything about that?
So, yes, the city is transitioning from one, I don't know what the technical term is, but one like program to another. So they are redoing, kind of migrating the map. And currently we have two different maps. So there's Map Tucson, which has everything, all of our layers. And then there was a separate preservation map. So it's, rather than trying to have information in two different places, we're going to have it just on the one map, Map Tucson. So we'll be, we can make that more, you know, clear, readily available on our website for folks.
Okay, thanks.
You're welcome.
Okay, anyone else? I'll have a little bit more to say about the Santa Rita Park issue under the PRS update a little bit down in the agenda.
Terry, I've got my hand up. I don't know if you saw it or not.
I don't see it. Hold on just a second. Go ahead.
Okay, Desiree, a question, and I've watched the plans review, both meetings on the Fox Theater, and I guess I'm just not clear on the sequencing of this. The plans review said that they would be able to demolish this contributing resource on stone, but I thought they weren't going to pursue going to the mayor and council until after they had the fundraising completed or whatever, or are they going ahead now to get the approval of that demolition before they actually have enough funds or the final design?
Yes, thank you, Commissioner Scoville. So they will be going to mayor and council to essentially get a preliminary approval for the demolition, but they won't be getting the actual demolition permit until they come back with a replacement plan and they do the fundraising. And they have, you know, indicated that that is their intention. And, you know, PRS's motion also included language about that, essentially like a preliminary approval. But they essentially want to know, do they have, you know, what direction they can go in?
Go with this. Okay. And now I don't know whether I should go when we're talking about properties owned by the city, Terry, or now, because of resources at parks. Desiree, I'll just ask you, are you aware of the magnetic observatory buildings at Udall Park?
You did mention those to me, yes.
Okay, because they said at this current juncture of the bond that they passed to improve parks, they weren't going to do anything with those buildings. But I just want to make sure, because that's an extremely historic site. And I know the last time, a year and a half ago, I went out with someone at Parks. The buildings are starting to crumble a little bit. So I would like some kind of assessment, and that I would be invited in the near future to go out and do a status report on the buildings.
Okay. Thank you for that information and bringing that to my attention. I'll definitely...
That was a project that I was involved with probably in 1995. And that was a plug out a long time ago, and we lost one building. Maybe the commissioners, I know. One of the key buildings was the Magnetic Observatory building, which actually began about the same time as the Desert Laboratory did. And one of the buildings, this Magnetic Resource building, the city tore down, and they said, oh, we made a mistake and tore down the wrong building, which was sort of pretty weak. And, you know, that was the only building of its kind. It wasn't really getting in the whole United States. There was one also in Chile, but that was the only building in North America, and the city of Tucson rallied to demolish it. So that's one of my other war stories.
Okay. Carlos, did you have your hand up again?
No. My says that it's lowered.
No, I can see it's still up, so sorry.
Let me try clicking it again. Now, all right.
Perfect. Okay, thank you. All right. I don't see any other questions for the moment here. So thank you, Desiree. And let's move on to 7B, Pima County Conservation Lands and Resources. Is Ian here today, or Scott, are you?
I'm here, but Ian is not. He got stuck on a call that he's in the middle of right now. He'd like to make the meeting as soon as he can, but he can't give a report right now.
Okay. Do you want to report anything?
I don't. I hope to have his report to relay, but I don't have it, and I don't have anything to add myself.
Okay. There is another item that I can update on a little bit later on the agenda if he's unable to join on the ASM permitting and policy updates, but I'll wait till that. He might be on by that time.
Hopefully. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Item 7C is City of South Tucson, Joshua Lacia. I don't believe Joshua is on, but Carlos, if you want to report, you can. I see your hand up again.
Sorry, my buttons are sticking. I actually haven't heard anything from City of South Tucson, but I did maybe have a question that Scott may or may not be able to answer. It had to do with, a couple things. Scott, do you have any kind of an update on the Project Blue? Because something happened with the Board of Supervisors, I think yesterday was that. And also, TEP is still seeking approval for that site. Do you know anything?
I don't. I'm actually just coming back from a week off. I suspect Ian would have comments about that, though, if he gets a chance to contribute later in the meeting. Sorry, I haven't heard about the Board of Supervisors dealing with that at all in this most recent meeting.
Okay, that's okay. Just checking. And I'll try to sure. lower my... So, Terry, if I is my hand lowered now or higher?
No, it's still higher. I accidentally muted you. Unmute yourself again.
Yeah, I'm done talking. Thanks, though.
Okay, yeah, and your hand's done. Okay, the sticking keys do strange things. Okay, thank you. Item 7D is Tucson Department of Transportation and Mobility, and I don't believe that Mr. Hartley is here, but Carlos, if you can follow up with him for next month, that would be terrific. Or if he can't make it, someone else that can report back.
That would probably be better, yeah, if he could just have a representative.
Yeah, and just you brief them on what we used to have, and there's clearly some misunderstanding because we go through phases, waves of them participating and not participating. And I think it's a change up in staff duties.
Yeah.
Okay. Item 8 is commission subcommittee, other committee and council and commission status reports. 8A is the plans review subcommittee. Desiree, you had mentioned, some of the more high profile cases that we've just heard. Is there anything else you want to mention before I say a few words about Santa Rita Park?
No, Chair Majewski. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Well, commissioners, PRS and many commissioners were disappointed with the unfortunate outcome at Santa Rita Park, where the small pool house was demolished. And at the meeting when we discussed this, at the PRS meeting, we had asked some questions. One of the PRS members asked questions about, where the building was located in the plans. And over time, we had requested that they try to include it. Basically, it was brought up by some people who commented at the meeting that the city was, it was in conflict with its own administrative directive on preservation. And the directive was drafted in 1999 and hasn't been updated since then. But there was a disagreement about the process between PRS and some other folks and the city. And Desiree and I had a long talk about this. And I even sent a request to halt the demolition and really try to fit the building into the plan, which we sort of hope that with further discussion at that second meeting about it, that this would happen. But so Desiree provided some interesting information. The city does contend that it did go through the required process as outlined by the AD. So the AD doesn't require review of non-designated or non-listed built environment resources. And later on in the process of Santa Rita Park, the small building was deemed eligible by the State Historic Preservation Office. After sort of a reconsideration of the report that noted that it was not eligible, but we're talking about an eligible resource, not a listed resource. And so the city attorney's interpretation of the AD is that city projects only need to consider preservation of listed historic resources. And the only potentially eligible sites that the AD requires the city to review are archaeological resources. So it's an issue where, despite review, it was within the city's purview to not preserve that building. Now, this pointed out a number of things, and I discussed them at length with Desiree, and we're moving forward to clarify some of those issues and also improve those issues. One is the fact that the administrative directive will be reviewed at the in the Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group that has both county staff present, city staff present, and to really do it collaboratively to improve those processes. It's a long time since that directive was written. So we see that as very positive. There's some other things you'll hear about. So the Historic Preservation Office and, Historic Landscape Subcommittee, we'll hear a little bit more about this, has worked on a map, an evaluation of all city parks and the resources that are within them, and has come up with a ranking scheme. Ones that definitely have historic resources, both parks and Desiree's office are they're behind this. So what's going to have to happen is that HLS will review this GIS that they've created in this ranking plan, and the goal is to have publicly available information about resources in parks and, you know, sort of the historicity of those parks available. Jasmine Chan from Parks and Rec has been very supportive of this GIS and welcomes it as a tool for doing due diligence, for planning from the early stages. I did, after I sent that request to the city manager's office to halt demolition of that building, I did have a talk with Christina Swallow. She called me the very next morning. And, she will be coming to PRS to talk a little bit more about that. So we'll be hearing, we have a proactive approach, to have more information out there, to work more collaboratively, and also, you know, learn about, county insights into this in the working group together with the city's insights and our insights. So, so that's what I have on that. Okay, Ken, do you have a question?
Yes, I just think, and having been around too long, I just think it goes back to a cultural response from the city of Tucson, essentially demolish first and ask questions later. And I'm concerned about the resources, and maybe you find this interesting, out at Udall Park, the Manning Observatory building, because I know that the city at that time says, well, we're not going to go through a listing process until we're going to use the buildings. So they're setting up the buildings to get demolished, from what I'm understanding today. So we just really need to change this, because it depends on the bureaucracy at the time. But I know those buildings in a snap would qualify, but I don't think they're listed right now. So they could demolish them all.
Well, I think we're moving in the right direction. You've brought it up. Desiree has it on her radar. We obviously have several commissioners participating in the working group. JJ is the co-chair with Helen. Andrew's on, and I'm not sure who else is on. Kathy, are you on the working group? Anyway, we have several, we have good folks on the working group, and they'll be reporting to us. We have, the fact that Parks is willing to work with us and is excited about the GIS, so is Desiree. We have to work collaboratively because reactionism doesn't work.
For the city.
Well, I mean, you and I have discussed this privately, Ken, and I respect your view. I've been around a long time too, and am disappointed. But I think that we can either continue to be disappointed and see no results, or work productively. Because I think we have staff from the city and the county that are very pro-preservation.
Okay. And, what I'm trying to say is, can we get this, that if something qualifies but is not listed, that it's still a no demolition until it works through a final process or something, so that we get this leveled out, that if something's qualifying but not listed, it still needs to be gone through and they don't have an option to just go ahead and demolish.
Well, that requires some changes in the administrative directive, and people are working on that now, trying to get information about the historic resources to the people that need to know it before these plans start. That, the thing for Santa Rita Park, that was a bond issue that was from a number of years ago. And, it was unclear, did they take into account the preservation aspects of it, or were they required to at that time? And they contend that they weren't, so now we have to provide the information that it will make it much more difficult to, have uninformed decisions. So anyway, we need to move along. We have a lot to cover today, but Kathy, did you have a comment?
Yeah, Terry, I am part of that working group. Mm-hmm. And I did dig into the administrative directive. It's really rather vague and confusing on several different issues. And the form that people fill out is next to useless, frankly. It seems to be more concerned with the fees to be paid rather than what is eligible, what is being considered. So That will be something that we talk about in future working group minutes, but the form is awful.
Right. Well, that was done a long time ago, and I think everyone recognizes that it needs a good close look and revision and updating. Yeah, so,
this is JJ, and this is definitely on the agenda. We've started discussing it, and, you know, I'm really hopeful. Everyone wants to see change, so I think this is a collaborative way to do it, the working group. This is definitely on our radar screen, and we'll be working on this. Thanks.
Right. Thank you. Okay, so I'm going to move on then to item 8B, which is Downtown Neighborhoods and Residents Council. Commissioner Hager, do you have an update for us?
Yeah, we didn't meet this month. We're going to be reconvening next month, so that's what I have.
So no meeting in September? Okay.
Yes.
All righty, thank you. Item 8C is Historic Landscape Subcommittee. Commissioner Grady.
Thank you. we had a meeting on the 28th of August, and there were, of course, Santa Rita Park and Pool. Park, Pool, and Bathhouse was a major item on this agenda. And we had recommended unanimously further study and preservation, but that is not what happened. So that is brings us to the next item on the agenda, and that's a list of historic parks in the city of Tucson. And so Commissioner Erickson and myself have been working on evaluating lists of parks and park resources. So sometimes park resources include the maintenance of schools, playground areas or school properties as well. So we're not being specific to parks. And we looked at those into five different categories. Parks with significant historic or cultural resources. And these are parks specifically adjacent or within historic districts or what we were looking for predominantly. But then we broadened it to parks that may have resources. Parks with significant historic or cultural resources is category one. Category two is parks with potential historic resources. So it includes all parks established by 1975 or earlier. So we're looking at that 50-year date that require evaluation beyond what is immediately visible in historic photographs. So in other words, we're suggesting that we would not be the body that would provide reports, but that there needs to be further investigation and determination of historic resources. We are happy to help support the process and do some of the research if we have a list of projects that are upcoming. We can bring some information to that. Often we are not informed until it's almost too late. Parks less than 50 years old with significant cultural or artistic resources. So may not need it on a specific 50-year or older criteria, but we know that it's culturally significant. So the fountain in Presidio Park and these sorts of features. And then parks established between 1975 and 85, which gives a little bit of a window of 10 years, which have significant, which may be found to have significant resources in the future. And then shortly after the 50-year period, and then parks with no known historic resources. And so what we've done is we've gone through a listing of parks. We did an initial, by use of aerials and images, survey of the parks. Helen worked out the GIS geometry of all of these, and then the tables include additional information. What we're hoping for is that this information ideally would be available to Tucson Parks and Rec as well as the City Historic Preservation Office, so that when projects come up, there would essentially be a flagging system that would inform that more information and study needs to happen. And so, Ken, I see you have your hand up. I think that we're toward the tail end of this.
Go ahead, Ken.
Okay. I just want to get clear. What happens if there's an historic resource that's been there for decades before it actually becomes a park? Did you pick up, from what you've done so far, did you pick up the magnetic residency buildings?
I don't know if we have, but that is information that we would love to add. So if you could send Helen and myself a quick email, we'll check it against our listing. We know our listing is a work in progress.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure that it was picking up resources that may be on the property long before it ever became a park.
That would be important. I think that we did, but we have to double check, and Helen is the keeper of that information. Now, this is specific to properties that are in the city of Tucson because we're working with Tucson Parks and Recreation. We have not expanded our study and work into the county at this time.
Okay.
So
that might be a county issue also more than it's a city issue.
So what we're addressing are some very current or recent challenges in the planning and resource management within Tucson Parks and Recreation. So, for instance, Santa Rita Park, Himmel Park, Armory Park, Reed Park. So these, what we're hoping to do is to have a resource that would trigger. And so, Carlos, you were second, and Desiree, you were third.
Yeah, Steve, sorry if I missed it. Did you mention heritage trees?
We did not mention heritage trees specifically, but we did look. We did not list heritage trees specifically, but what we're looking for is a flagging system that would say to do further study. Desiree, maybe you can help me out a little bit with this.
Sure. Thank you, Commissioner Grady. Fabulous work done by the Historic Landscape Subcommittee. We're very excited about it. Parks, I know, is already sharing it among staff, and we're actually already kind of using it. We'll be bringing something to Historic Landscapes because of that, right, the kind of flagging system. So I do want to just share that, some of the recent cases that have been mentioned, including Santa Rita Bathhouse, are kind of inherited projects, right? So those are projects that started several years ago. So that one, for example, started in 2021. And so we're now kind of seeing the results of the policy, how it has been followed. However, at least since I have been here, Parks and Rec has been going to Historic Landscape Subcommittee and has been working with our office to identify projects that, we should be getting input on. And so there is a difference between, what is required by the AD and then what our practice is, which is, I think, a best practice. And that's the direction that we want to go in. And I think that's the direction we want the AD to go in as well. But just wanted to share that we have been taking projects. Jasmine Chan from Parks and Rec has gone to way more Historic Landscape Subcommittee meetings than I have even. So just wanted to kind of share that feedback.
Thank you, Desiree.
So I would like to make a motion just asking for Tucson Pima County Historical Commission support in this endeavor. So my motion is the Tucson Pima County Historical Commission supports the incorporation of the Historic Landscape Subcommittee provided GIS, park, and property geometry, tables, and key as a resource to inform design and maintenance decisions. Identified and likely resources will necessitate the study and report resources for preservation. And we can clean that up a little bit, but what the second part is that when there are known resources, before there's design work or maintenance decisions, removal and such, that this would necessitate study and review prior to actions taken.
Okay, is there a second for that motion?
I would like to second that motion.
Who was that?
The first one was me, Julie.
Okay, Julie, okay. So Steve, can you email me that motion, because it was too long for me to write down.
No worries. I will, and I'll tighten it up a little bit, but,
it'll be on the recording as well. So that's good. Great. So is there further discussion on this motion, or should we go ahead and vote? Okay. Let's go ahead and vote. Please call roll.
Allison Doggy.
Aye.
Andrew Christopher.
Aye.
Blake Houghton.
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Courtney?
I'll call back right now. Gary Miner?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
JJ?
I'll call her back right now. Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julie Rigoli?
Yes.
Ken Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Yes.
Mato Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
Courtney Marks?
Aye.
JJ Lem?
Aye.
Motion passes 16 to 0.
Great. I just wanted to see that I got everyone. All right. Thank you. Do you have anything else for us, Steve?
I was just going to report on our next meeting. The Tucson Pima, Historic Landscape Subcommittee will be meeting on Thursday, September 25th at 10 a.m. And so I will, hopefully, please let me know if there are agenda items. I suspect there will be some, and I will hopefully get this put together as soon as possible.
That's great, Steve. I appreciate that. Okay, item D is 8D is Transportation Subcommittee. Commissioner Lozano.
Thanks, Terry. Let's see. Let me do a RTA update. So last month, the RTA board unanimously approved the RTA Next project plan. And so the board, that's all every mayor in Pima County and all the supervisors. And that list, so there's good and bad. So the Vail project that JJ and I had talked about and we had written about in our letters, our recommendation letters, that's been mitigated, and so hopefully that will work out well. The 22nd widening between I-10 and Keno, that I believe was shrunken down from 6 lanes to 4 lanes. And just so you know, if it had been 6 lanes as they originally intended, that all by itself would have taken out the bathhouses at Santa Rita Park, and so we wouldn't have even been talking about it. And let's see, and then the problem is Silver Bell, that I believe, is unchanged. That's four lanes plus bike and ped. And if it's divided, I mean, we could be talking 100, 120 feet. And so that's what I wanted to ask Ian about, if he was still here. I mean, or if he's gotten here yet. The project list has been approved, so I don't see any way that we can, that the project list can be modified, but I don't know. And I also, so transportation has not really come up with a recommendation yet on whether to vote for this thing or not. We don't have to decide until next March. That was one of our recommendations. Also, one of the other supervisors had recommended that we push that vote out until November of next year, but they really want to get it done fast, and so it's going to be next March. So this will be ongoing. And if Ian is here, he can is he here?
Yeah.
Hey there.
I'm sure. Yep, I'm here. Ian, what time did you join, Ian? Do you know?
Yeah, 12:32.
Great. Thank you.
So, Ian, do you see that there's any possible hope for Silverbell?
So let me answer your first question. I do not see the project list changing. I think it is complete, and it is the list that's going to go out to voters. With regards to Silverbell, Silverbell's an odd one because it was approved in the 2008 package, and the commitment was that it would be funded in regular RTA, not RTA Next, to be completed through Camino del Cerro, the current segment that is designed and now awaiting construction. Now they've pushed that off into RTA Next. So what's weird is that now they're asking for a vote on something that previous voters already approved. They just didn't fund it. So now they've extended that project again, and it was all the way up to INA, but the commitment was that they would design and build up to Camino del Cerro, which is the second segment, first being Grant to Goree. So I think even with all the complexities, even with all the advocacy, Marana is the one pushing this. It's not Pima County. It's not Tucson. And City of Tucson's like deferring to Marana, as they should, because they have no involvement after Camino del Cerro. Pima County and Marana, it kind of interweaves jurisdictions. I know that the county, doesn't believe necessarily that the project is needed, but that is a representative, you know, that's coming from our transportation department, based off of what's going on in I-10, Sunset, different arterials around there. Given the level of complexity, I think RTA is going to have a really hard time advancing this project. But it also depends on what the Army Corps does. And so if the Army Corps now comes back and says, we're reversing the fact that we have jurisdiction over the entire thing, that allows Marana to build much easier because there is no requirement at the local level if the feds don't step in.
So is there anything that
you guys can do? I would continue the advocacy. I'd continue to harp on the fact that there could potentially be a campaign that, you know, what RTA is looking for is if they bundle it all together, which it's one vote, people are going to want 80% of the package and they'll sacrifice the 20% that they don't want. You can't separate the issue, which you can do on a bond proposal. And so there's public hearings that go in a bond commission where you can say, this constituency wants you to pull this project out and have a separate vote just on this project. The fact that they're all lumped together going as one package, it's going to be hard to stop it.
Okay. Well, we'll look at it. Transportation, we'll look at it. We'll get in touch with you. You weren't here earlier. I was curious if you know anything more about the supervisor's discussion of Project Blue, because TEP is still pushing for approval for that same site, and there were some things that were discussed that I didn't really understand. Do you know anything about that?
I have not been caught up on it, but I can, if you want to follow up with me afterwards and then you want to brief the commission, I'm happy to relay information as it comes to me. I've been in meetings for the past 3 days and just have not been able to get a debrief yet.
And we were also, there was this rumor that they might move it down to Sellarita, and transportation was talking about how we don't really have a good list of historic resources in the Sellarita area. There's been so much development down there, and I don't even know if, you know, Sellarita seems to be kind of light on preservation advocacy. Do you have a list of resources in that region?
No, all we have is, so Sellarita has no ordinance. They're not a CLG. And all we have is statewide data via the State Historic Preservation Office, and the, Arizona Record or, Records Office, Archaeological Records Office of ASM. That's all we have. But I don't think there's ever been a comprehensive inventory of built environment or comprehensive survey that's been done. The only survey, archaeological survey that they do is when it's required by the state, or they have a federal grant.
Yeah, and a little bit, they did something for the Sonoran Corridor, but we're going to get with the Santa Cruz Valley historical, whatever their group
the
is.
The heritage area?
Yeah, and try to make sure that a lot of this new development is not, you know, demolishing like historic farms or anything like that. But anyway, I should probably keep going, but thanks for your input. I really appreciate that. So the only other thing I had was, TEP, just a TEP update. So we sort of lost the battle. We won part of the battle, lost some of the battle. This was the 120 foot power poles. And just so everyone knows, people have asked me, are those the type of poles that you're seeing going in on Grant right now? No, these are bigger than those horrible ones on Grant. So what I think they're talking about now is the Vine substation, and that is, I think that's in or adjacent to Feldman's Historic District, and that will be where that fight goes to now. And even though it's in a residential neighborhood, you know, transportation will still keep up on that. And as soon as there's a time to act on that, we will act. And as Commissioner Haggard has pointed out in the past, TEP is still putting forward a lot of misinformation that can be refuted at every point. So I won't go into those things, but that's my report. Thanks.
Thank you, Carlos. I want to mention that Commissioner Lamb, teams dropped for her, Carla. Can you send her an invitation to join? Because she's having trouble getting on. I'm texting her and told her she may have to call in.
Yes, I'll resend it.
Yeah, and her text came in at 12:58, so that's when she dropped. Unless
okay,
you have a different time. Okay, thank you. If you could try to get her back on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, thanks a lot, Carlos. I don't see any questions, but that doesn't mean because we're on two pages now, so I have to keep up. Okay, let me see.
Okay.
I'm sorry.
Terry, this is Courtney Marks. I may have to jump off for a work emergency.
Oh, okay. So we'll have you jumping off at 1:01, or are you?
Yeah.
Okay. Thanks so much for letting me know. Let me just 1:01. Okay. So we'll try to move things through. Item 8E is Commission on Equitable Housing and Development. Commissioner McDonald.
Hi, yes. The Commission on Equitable Housing and Development met on the 4th of this month. They had a really good discussion, really good meeting. They reviewed their annual recommendations that they put together in a letter to mayor and council. So they were preparing those recommendations, including asking the city manager to fund the housing trust fund, more specifically, to be 2 to 10 million annually with an identified permanent source. So very much hoping for that. And that was a recommendation they accepted from the housing trust fund working group, which was assembled, to determine some of those recommendations. They also worked on increasing funding for homeless prevention assistance, figured out how to get this administrative fund, where it was going to come from, required for the rental assistance program. And then there was also a a summary kind of presentation by city staff on the middle housing code amendments that are currently proposed. The commission voted to submit a letter of support for those code amendments, but a little crossover here, they did have some discussion and concern about how it would affect historic neighborhoods and generally relieved to hear that the guidelines and understood those guidelines to still apply in the case of development and HPZs. So a little summary there.
Great. Thank you, Savannah.
Sure.
Any questions? Carlos, did you just get some information from Scott? Because I'm having trouble seeing that chat.
Yeah, I did. Yeah, I copied that too. Thanks.
Okay, thank you. All right, item 8F is the budget subcommittee, and that's me reporting. Commissioner Minor and I met this morning in the budget subcommittee and approved disbursement of funds to cover the costs incurred by the Presidio Museum for the August 250 plus event. And the total was $14,836.25. The only reason we could do this is because of the generous extra contribution donated by Pima County for the event. So $10,000 of that came from the county's extra donation that was earmarked for that event. And then the additional amount to come up to $14,000 and change was from our budget allotment from the city and county. So the meeting, we just had it, so there's no LAR posted yet, but I just wanted to give you a heads up on that. And so that was it was quite the event. Okay, so item 8G is Outreach and Training Subcommittee. Did Commissioner Lamb get back on yet? Do you see her, Carla? I don't.
I don't see her, but I did forward the link to her again.
Yeah, and she's not, maybe she's in an area where she can't connect or something, but that's too bad. You know, just to mention real quickly that now that all commissioners and city and county staff are on the list from the National Association of Preservation Commissions, you should be getting emails from time to time on various things that are happening. We will be having, in the next few meetings, we'll be alerting commissioners about sort of the training requirements and which of their free webinars you can listen to at your leisure to sort of get your preservation training for the year. And then we're also going to have some speakers on topics like deconstruction and some other things that are in the works. So that's all that I can talk about off the top of my head. So sorry, that was kind of quick. Item 8H is Event Subcommittee. August was pretty amazing. A lot of you participated in a couple major events that we either helped plan or participated in. On the actual day of Tucson's, or of the 250th, which was the 20th of August, there was the opening of the time capsule buried at the Tucson Museum of Art, and I spoke alongside the mayor at that event, and it was pretty exciting. And I'm in discussion with the person I worked with from the Museum of Art about what's happening with those artifacts or with the materials that were not artifacts, but you know what I mean, the things that came out of the time capsule. They're basically doing an inventory. I think there's a temporary exhibit. I would really recommend you go look at it. There'll be more discussion about this because I don't think that they consider themselves a permanent home. So, you know, anyway, we'll continue to discuss this. They are looking now for sometime next year to, you know, collect things for a new time capsule and so on and rebury, you know, and bury that, but that'll be sometime in the spring. So, you know, we'll talk more about it. If you want to talk to me about it offline, that's fine. But then the big event, the 250th, was amazing, you know, all the way from the Presidio down to the Tucson Museum of Art, you know, well over 40 community partners, entertainment on two stages, all sorts of appearances and speeches by elected officials. And we were very lucky to have the Secretary of State even speak. And it was just, it was really, really a nice event. Beastly hot, but that didn't seem to deter anyone. And I appreciate everyone who really helped a lot. I know that Kathy Kubisch stayed there the whole time. And I know that poor Gary Miner came and had, he had just had like shoulder surgery. So we had lots of great people helping with things. If I've missed anyone, you know, I apologize. Ken, do you have something very brief? You're on mute. You're on mute.
I spoke with the mayor that evening. She would like to actually said she would like that same level of celebration every year. So I don't know if that's possible or funding or all those other things, but I was there for the whole thing. I was at the Presidio Museum table for a while.
Oh, yeah, no, I did see you. Yeah, and we talked.
But that doesn't matter. But I would think it'd be great if we could plan to do that level of two stages and that whole open quadrant, because I think that's just a good thing for the whole community to see every year the resources and what preservation is about. And so I would hope that we could somehow do that same level in the mayor's.
Well, we're going to have some more consistent funding, because the funding we receive now doesn't, you know, and it's, I can't speak on the county's behalf, you know, for being able to donate the kinds of funds. And, you know, the Museum of Art donated that, used their own funding. Also Los Descendientes did. And so it was a very expensive and tiring event that we had been planning and meeting on since at least February or earlier, even, you know, months before that.
I just thought I'd pass that information on.
No, I know. And people love that event. And when we asked the city for extra funding, they said, no, we're happy to provide you with all sorts of things that you didn't request. But, you know, and, you know, they were supportive of it. And so it's just, you know, everyone has different funding situations. So let's see what we can do, you know, in the future. We certainly will. But yeah. Okay. But thank you, Ken. I had lots of good comments, too, and emails afterwards. Anyway, thanks again for everyone who helped with that. Item 8, I is Preservation Award Subcommittee. We added Commissioner Miner to that, so we'll need to have a meeting to really talk about when we can schedule that. The main problem is we usually have it in May. We didn't have it in May this year because of all the planning and efforts for the 250th. If May is a bad, it's a good month for the awards program, but it's not a good month for getting people reimbursed for it because of the way the city's funding is. You know, that you have to, even though theoretically the budget doesn't end until June 30th for the state fiscal year, they want everything by way early. So it's almost impossible to run that meeting or that run that event in May. So I think that's something we need to talk about. We have been in brief discussions with Ian Milliken about possibly having the ceremony at the courthouse, but we'd have to get our time in there early. You need lead time for everything. So we'll be meeting on that probably sometime in October with that subcommittee. All right, item 8J is the TPCHC City of Tucson and Pima County Historic Preservation Policies and Procedures Working Group. And before we go further, JJ, I know you're here as chair or co-chair of that working group. We've been in some discussion about what the name of the working group should be, and we're needing a name change again. And so, so what I have from discussing with Helen and looking at the legal action report and I'll explain why they go with this. It's TPCHC, or basically the full commission, abbreviated to TPCHC, Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group. And there's reasons for, it's advisory. This sort of broadens it, but it's not quite as wordy as it is right now.
And no, I think that sounds like a really good choice, name choice.
Yeah, and that was what was listed in your LAR. So I would entertain a motion to change the name of the working group to TPCHC, Historic Preservation Advisory Working Group. Do you want to move that?
Okay? Kathy, I'll make that motion.
Okay, and who'll second?
This is JJ, I'll second.
Okay, JJ, when did you return?
I returned about, maybe 3 or 4 minutes ago.
So we'll say 1:10. Does that sound about right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Okay. Sorry, did you return by phone, or I can't see you? Is that just because you're on another page? No, you're on another.
I'm on another page. Yeah, I managed to get back on.
Oh, there you are. There you are. Okay. Yeah, it's just, All right, thank you. Okay, so Kathy moved and JJ seconded to change the name. Could we have a roll call vote, please? Sorry, we're getting really late here. We have to move on.
Allison Doggy?
Did Alice have to leave? Alice had to leave, right?
I thought that was Courtney Marks. I'll call her again. Andrew okay. Christopher?
Right.
Blake Houghton?
Aye.
Carlos Lozano?
Aye.
Gary Miner?
Aye.
JJ Lamb?
Aye.
Joel Ireland?
Yes.
Julie Rigoli? Julie?
Aye.
Cam Scoville?
Yes.
Kathy Kubish?
Aye.
Mauro Trejo?
Aye.
Savannah McDonald?
Aye.
Stephen Grady?
Aye.
Terry Majewski?
Aye.
Tim Haggard?
Aye.
This Alice is Alice Sadongi. I voted aye.
Okay, perfect. Thank you.
Thank you, Alice.
Motion passes 15-0.
Perfect. Thank you. JJ, would you like to go ahead and report on the working group since you're the co-chair?
Sure. So at our last meeting, we had actually lots of great discussion, but we discussed issues related to the Tucson and Pima County GIS information and its how that is publicly available. And we had discussion, slight discussion, not a whole lot because of the situation, related to the Santa Rita Park. We have discussions related to the COI, Historic Preservation Zone Reviews, and discussion related to the Administrative Directive 1.07-7, Protection of Archaeological and Historic Resources, and how the city and county processes correlate. So I think that the scope of the things that we're able to discuss and have, staff present and participating from both county and the city really demonstrate the usefulness and impact of having such a working group.
Well, thank you. Great. Thank you for all those efforts. And JJ, if you would just, I will email you and Helen, because usually she gets me the agenda that you two reviewed together. But we have to be sure now we can use the new name, but I have to be really careful when I send it in to make sure boards and commissions doesn't get confused to think we have a new working group, because they deal with so many different agendas and everything. So, but we have a little time because you're going to meet on October 15th, something like that.
And you know what? I can go ahead and change the title and resend that, if that's helpful.
Well, no, I don't have the agenda yet. I have the
okay.
Yeah, so we'll work it out. I have
I wasn't sure if that had been.
I have the LAR, but it's still under the old name, which it has to be. You know.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's true. Sorry, I was thinking that maybe that needed to be changed too.
No, that's good.
Oh.
So anyway,
okay.
Thank you. All right, any questions for JJ? No? All right, we'll move on to item 9, which is ASM permitting and policy updates. And before you start on that, Ian, you all should have received an email from Carla with that Ian requested that the letter that the county administrator sent to the Arizona Board of Regents on this. So go ahead, Ian.
Yeah, thanks. So the ABOR's University Governance Committee reviewed the proposal, and there was a lively discussion at their meeting, which was about a week ago, where they approved it to move forward to the full board. Notably, at that meeting, there were basically two regents on both sides of the equation. Regent Arnold was really, I think, misspoke in the way that he presented it as students should not be bearing the costs of supporting ASM when, in fact, ABOR gets about $750 million in state funding a year. And so it just misrepresented the situation. On the other side, Duval basically argued that this is a real issue and that this has impacts and kind of more aligned with what the significant rise in costs is going to be, and that this is an unfunded mandate, but this is a responsibility that ABOR has under the current system that the legislature has assigned to ABOR. Where we really focused our efforts was not on the curation. It was on the permitting, because now it is such a radical shift and a radical increase in both policy and cost that we are going to struggle as a agency to be able to continue complying with the Antiquities Act. And we used a lot of different arguments, but mainly the intent of the law totally aligns with our stewardship responsibilities on the conservation lands that we manage. Typically, large-scale compliance projects can absorb this cost. Cultural resources is not necessarily an economic driver in that, but we do have a lot of small-scale projects and a lot of management activities that all are subject to compliance with the Antiquities Act. And so now when you're looking at potentially an activity that has a $5,000 cost just for permitting before any activity for cultural resources, survey monitoring, anything actually occurs, some of these budgets just – it's 200% of the budget at that point. So a small cattle guard that is getting replaced, subject to compliance, now has an extraordinary cost that doubles the entire project cost without even getting surveyed. We focused also on the fact of really getting back to the premise that, you know, this is a really bad precedent that I know that the governor's office is not, is really pushing against, which is really just shifting taxpayer dollars around to charge sister agencies for the responsibility of paying for these compliance activities is really inappropriate. I mean, it was always intended that the fee structure would be for private development, but through the ages and through the current director's interpretation of the law and the way the rules are structured, he claims that 100% of all costs for compliance with the Antiquities Act must be recouped. And that there is no preferential treatment. And they're also not willing to even allow for a programmatic approach, which would have cost savings, where, let's say, all of the county's activities within a given year on conservation lands could be lumped under one permit and one report to provide cost savings back. So really, that's the meat of the letter. I hope you guys got a chance to read it and happy to answer any questions, but it is going to ABOR on the 26th of this month. It's on the consent agenda, which it gives you any idea that it's very likely to pass, and our letter will mean nothing We also have lobbyists working on the governor's side. So even if ABOR does pass it, it's still not over. At least it's not over for us, and we continue to escalate it outside of ABOR.
Thank you, Ian, and thank you for sending that letter to be distributed. Several meetings ago, or maybe one or two, we voted to send our own letter, and Blake, I think you volunteered to help. I think what I will do is model a letter off of Ian's and send it to you for a quick review, but we need to get it in. Again, you know, we're supporting the county's concern. We should all be concerned because it's gotten worse and worse over the years in terms of costs. And we need to get it in before that meeting. So,
And Terry, I think, you know, one idea for the commission and for you as you write this letter is we really need to refocus on what the intent of the Antiquities Act was. It has gotten so muddled in how it is actually applied and how the compliance process has been built that we've gotten so far away from intent that it aligns with this commission. It aligns with the City of Tucson and Pima County's role as certified local governments to go out and proactively identify places of significance. And now there's an extraordinary cost that disincentivizes our ability to both meet our certified local government needs, meet our jobs as subdivision of the state, but more so, it's just the public trust that's put in us for the lands that we manage. Now there's a financial penalty to do that.
Yeah, it's difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you. Not seeing any questions, so we'll go on to item 10, which is update on City of Tucson and Pima County preservation programs and processes. 10A is City of Tucson. Desiree, did you have anything else you wanted to add, or are you good with your earlier report?
Desiree put in the chat that she had to step out for a moment.
Okay. Report. Item, okay, so 10B is Pima County. Since you couldn't report before, Ian, do you want to report here on anything?
Sure, just real quick. In addition to a week full of really responding to the ASM, we also met with the County Supervisors Association and a legislative aide in their interest in proposing a resolution or crafting a resolution for supporting full permanent funding for SHPO. And it mm-hmm. seems like there is a lot of momentum based off of the county's letter that we sent earlier this year when there was threat of SHPO not getting funding for this year and threats to the Historic Preservation Fund. So we expect that resolution to move forward. There's an understanding and a bipartisan understanding that nothing is being proposed at the federal or state level for a legislative change on either the State Historic Preservation Act or the National Historic Preservation Act, which means that when you look at any economic development and any infrastructure development within the state, if you don't have SHPO, you have serious problems in allowing your projects to get to that green light for construction, right? They are built into the process and there is no alternative. And so there would be lawsuits and it would be time delays and so forth. So we emphasize that. We emphasize the critical role that SHPO plays in the tax reclassification program. Again, of the 9,000 residents statewide that participate in that program, 3,900 live within Pima County. So we have a big chunk of people and it's again a bipartisan issue. We also have the certified local government program, which is administered by SHPO via the Park Service, and that is the ability for states to get access to federal fund, or sorry, local governments to get access to federal funding for planning and stewardship aspects. So there's a lot there that the CSA really believes in. They are going to be proposing a resolution in partnership with the leagues of cities and towns. There's also some lobbying efforts on behalf of on the side of the county, working through key legislators as well as the governor's office to secure this funding. So that has been the big kind of push in the past couple of weeks. And then in terms of the compliance realm, really no major updates at this point. We do have the nomination for the Mission Gardens property that is under SHPO review and is expected to go to HSRC later this fall. Did Scott send that to you guys, to PRS?
We haven't seen that yet, I don't think.
Okay, I'll make sure that he sends it to you guys for review.
Yeah, send it to Desiree and we'll get it agendized.
Okay. That's it.
All right, thank you. Any questions for Ian? Thank you. Okay. Item 11 is monitoring and preserving historic buildings and landscapes owned by the City of Tucson. Do you have a brief update, Commissioner Scoville?
Well, I guess the only building I'm still having ongoing concerns, and maybe Desiree could respond to this, would be the Atkins property on the Fort Lowell area.
I think Desiree is not on. I think. Oh, there she is. There she is.
Yeah, I'm back. Yeah, I don't have any. There's no movement or, you know, nothing new to report on the Atkins property.
Okay, because I met with the county administrator about it and had not been able to get into Mr. Tamura's office. We'll keep trying, but I have left messages there. But it's been assessed, it's propped up, and all those things, I guess, because we haven't had enough rains, it's still standing. But it's just like, how do you get the ball rolling? I'll keep trying. I don't know if you have any suggestions about how else we might get the ball rolling.
Yeah, that's something we can discuss with Parks and Rec and the county. Yeah, I don't have any other.
Okay, is Ian still on?
No, Ian left.
I'm on for a minute. I do need to run to another meeting, but happy to answer any questions.
Any communication with the Pima County store administrator about it? Because I did meet with her, and she said they were talking about a land swap or something else.
Yeah, so I'm going to, Desiree, I'm not sure on the city side, but on the county side, Ken, to that very point, this has been elevated beyond Desiree and I, and there are conversations at senior leadership in county and city that I have not gotten updated on. I believe that these conversations are ongoing, but until such time that county administration, you know, reaches out to me for additional opinion, all I can do is direct you or any the commission in general to county and city leadership.
Okay, I've been pursuing this as a private individual, so it'd be best for me to continue to do that and just call back to the honcho's offices.
Correct. Yeah, I've gotten no instruction from my side of it, and I can't speak for Desiree, but it sounds like maybe she's in the same boat.
Okay. Thank you.
Yep.
Great. Okay, thank you, Ken. Thank you, Ian and Desiree. All right. Item 12 is Commissioner's Summary of Current Events. Does anyone have a brief item they'd like to share? Please raise your hand, and I'll try to see everyone. Okay, I see no one on page one. Oh, I see JJ. Go ahead, JJ.
And I'll just, I know an announcement went out about the Oldville Post Office special preview on Friday, and I'll just reissue that invitation. It's from 4 to 7:30, and it's a come and go. It's not come and stay for 3.5 hours. So there'll be tours of the post office and a taco bar and a trivia game at one point. Anyway, it'll be fun and an opportunity to see the project and meet with Eric Means and, you know, ask questions about his methods and how he managed to save this building that almost fell over. Anyway, I think it'll be pretty interesting and hope some of you can attend.
JJ, can you send me an email of that again?
Well, I tell you what, yes. JJ, send it to me again and I'll have Carla send it out, okay? And then everybody will get it again. Thanks.
Okay,
if you do great. That, I'll send it. But it's this Friday. Early evening?
Yeah, 4 to 7:30 coming.
Okay, perfect. Thank you. Anyone else? Call to the audience? I mean, no, sorry. I mean,
hey,
Commissioner, summary of current events. Anyone else?
Hi, this is Tim Haggard. I don't know how to raise my hand on the phone.
Oh, that's okay. What do you have for us?
Yes, I'm going to put it on people's radar. November, the week of November 7th and 9th, the Tucson Historic Preservation Group is going to have their Modernism Week, and they're going to have a home tour and some other programming that week, and so just look out for that.
Okay, has there been an announcement sent out that we can share with commissioners? Do you know, Tim, can you find that out?
I don't know that there's an announcement. I know there's some save the dates, and they, you know, have November 7th and 9th, but there's going to also be some other programming that they're putting together and putting together the program for that, the days prior for that week. There's going to be some, they have some different talks set up, and I know there's a home tour on that Sunday, and I think that's the November 9th, and they're still finalizing the homes. But once I have some sort of email or something, I'll share that with the group or you.
That'd be great. And also, I think we could all look on the Tucson Historic Preservation Foundation website, because they probably have that listed as an upcoming event, or, you know, they're in the planning process for that. So that would be really good. Thank you. Anyone else? No? Okay. Item 13 is called to the audience. Carla, were any comments received by the posted deadline?
No, we did not receive any at the city clerk's office.
Okay, thank you. We'll move on to item 14, then, thoughts on inclusivity. Does anyone have an inclusivity thought to share today? Looking, see no hands. Okay, none. Item 15 is schedule and future agenda items. So the next meeting is scheduled for October 8th, and I had an incorrect date by which you had to send me agenda items, because September 16th has already passed. And I've had some questions about maybe moving the meeting to October 15th. So what I'm going to do is send a message out, like I've done in the past, for everybody to tell me which or both dates they can attend, and then I'll see if we have a quorum that would allow us to move the meeting. It's hard, these meetings that happen so early in the month, because of when the first Wednesday falls. So that's why some of this is happening for a couple months here and there. So I will do that. So we'll meet either on the 8th or the 15th. And usually I need items 10 to 14 days before that, if you have something that you want me to put on the agenda. So sorry that the meeting's gone over that what I had originally intended, but it was a good meeting. And so we're going to go ahead and adjourn. If there were complex motions, please send those to me. I think, Steve, yours was the most complex. I think I can manage the others, but if anyone wants to share their, if they read from a motion, please send it to me. Okay, thank you very much. Bye, everyone. Adjourned at 1:36. Carla, do you need anything else from me right now?
I'm sorry.